is June the 16th of 2009, and it is 7:22. Advisory Neighborhood Commission 1D, if not present, and present are Jack McKay, Phil Aponto, David Bosserman, and myself, Greg Edwards. Four out of the six constituting a quorum. The first order of our business is to have a public discussion in which we invite people to speak for 3 minutes about anything they wish. And then the commission may or may not answer questions. I think it... We traditionally go in some kind of order around the room. So, since you're smiling, why don't you start, and then we will move clockwise.
One moment, please.
Well, then while you're waiting, we can say that...
We use the wireless microphone, and the idea here is that there will be an audio recording of everything we do, so that the people who were unfortunate enough that they couldn't attend can submit themselves to listening to the proceedings. People occasionally actually do. It gives you, I mean, we are required, as Greg will tell you, to maintain a transcript of our proceedings. Nobody does that. We keep our minutes brief. They just summarize our actual measures. So the real transcript of the proceedings is the audio recording, which is why we appreciate it if you use the wireless microphone, identify yourself with the audio, and then let us know what you're thinking. Would you like? Yes, you can pass. Yes, you can pass. Somebody else? Mr. Spencer. Oh, here you go. Here you go.
Hello, thank you for holding this meeting. My name is Tom Prasa. I live at 1927 Kenyon Street, which is at the corner of Kenyon, Adams Mill, and Irving. And one of the reasons I'm here tonight is that I'm very concerned about that intersection, especially when the spring and summer is upon us and the zoo becomes very alive. We have lots of out-of-towners coming and parking on Saturday and Sunday in our neighborhood. And yes, that area, that light is, I'm surprised. I watch people with their strollers and their huge packs of family try to traverse that area, which there's no directions. I can't believe anybody at this point has not been injured or killed at that corner as pedestrians. It's extremely old. It needs to be updated. I'm sure you guys have been through this before about that intersection. But I'm just concerned, and I'm just wanting to know what's going on with the intersection and with the parking in general around that area. Thank you very much for having this meeting.
Yes.
That you're speaking of the intersection of Addisville and Kenyon and Irving Street, right? Well, it's actually not Harvard Street, that Adams Mill Road. Is Adams Mill Road right down to the zoo? Yes, where they come together. That will be rebuilt next spring. I have been working on this for 6 years to get that intersection because there's a traffic problem, which is people come down Kenyon Street and they want to go down Adams Mill Road and they go in the intersection and make a U-turn in the middle of the intersection.
Well, then they go down our back alley.
So well, you got that alley, the steep alley there?
Yeah, that's the left turn lane for
I understand, and there is supposed to be a no left turn sign at the bottom of that, telling people not to do that, and I can't get it put back. But anyway, next spring, that intersection will be rebuilt, because yes, we're well aware that it is a dreadful mess.
So are there plans available to the public to look at of what they're going to do?
I have.
The design wise?
You can go down and inspect them.
Well,
you can go down to DDOT and inspect them.
Okay, they have something written up?
Well, they're big, bad plans.
I have,
and hard to read.
I have a plan which I can email to you if you will email me, or email the ANC, and I will send you that plan as it currently stands. Yes.
Should we be worried about that plan, or?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
We're
it's not going to be just devastating that area. It's just going to be upgraded. Okay.
It's the idea is that you'll be able to come down Kenya Street, make the left turn onto Adams Mill without having to make any funny maneuvers. And some other things. But yeah, and also to civilize the pedestrian access. It's a mess. And what they pointed out, and indeed I got some funding out of this, because you notice that there are signs on Adams Mill Road saying no trucks on Kenyon and Irving. That's because they can't make that sharp turn. And that's one of the things that's going to be fixed. A lot of things are going to be fixed there.
And how about my second about the parking? You know, we heard on the NPR station there was talk about concerns about Mount Pleasant and the overcrowding of parking. And I was just wondering what's been going on with that.
I'm sorry, what about?
There was a report on NPR, the local station, about a month ago on the morning rush hour about they interviewed a whole bunch of people in Mount Pleasant about the problems, and they were talking about restricting parking.
Specifically related to traffic.
Only one side would be for residents and one side would be for...
Okay, let me, if I may.
Sure.
Our council member has a bill in city council which would do just that, that one side of the street would be for Ward 1 only. That is to say, at the moment, you've got this two-hour visitor allowance.
Right.
A non-permit person can park on RPP Street for up to 2 hours. Jim Graham's idea is to eliminate that for one side of the street only. So one side of the street would be for Ward 1 only. There would be no two-hour grace period. On the other side, you would have the two-hour grace period. Personally, I think that is not at all responsive to our problems. I don't think, the idea was to put this around in Columbia Heights around DC USA, where they've got tons of shoppers coming in and parking on the street so the residents can park. We don't have that problem. I mean, I kind of wish we did.
We have some disagreement here, but anyway, that's this is Jack's
one. Yeah.
Yeah, zoo parking, but remember that on weekends there's no RPP anywhere. So I don't think it'll make any difference.
You need a mic to speak.
They are building a parking garage at the zoo. Is that not right? I think that's long term, though. I don't know what their construction plans are.
They invited us to talk with them, and we haven't. So that's something to do soon.
Yes, I would encourage that. Thank you.
Ma'am, would you like to?
Pretty much.
Okay. Alberto Ferrofino, would you identify yourself?
Yeah, my name is Alberto Ferrofino, and I'm the owner of Downfall Restaurant. I'm saying good evening to everybody. The idea is to have a sidewalk cafe in Downfall. Actually, we want to ask into ANC if they approve. Also, we count with the help with the Mount Pleasant Main Street. And, I mean, we have the opportunity to fill the application with the LDC, Latino Economic Development. We're trying to bring more people, you know, to our businesses. We're trying to serve more food outside and inside. I count with your help. This is my son over here, Oliver. Thank you.
You've already heard one reaction. Sorry, that was... now, does any member of the commission wish to comment on the status of that? Jack, you're following it. You're of course, in my district, but we share responsibility for my district.
I do want to point out, Alberto, that the agenda for the June Public Space Committee meeting is out, and you are not on it. So, I mean, we need to go forward with this one, but I'm not sure what's going on when it's actually going to go to Public Space Committee.
Actually, they called me from the Department of Public Space, and the lady told me they have a little bit difficult to understand the measurements and the drawing and the plan, and we want to work on this in this week. So we hopefully, I don't think it's coming for hearing in this 21st, but she told me she will call us in July.
Okay, but I think we should be dealing with this tonight, because I have questions too about your layout, so we can deal with that when we take up the resolution.
Well, okay, or delay it until we get more information, because I don't have good information about it.
I think we should take up the resolution,
good.
Discuss it,
agreed.
Then table it.
Okay, good. Good. Next. Excuse me for not knowing your name.
Actually, not as my my first meeting with this ANC. My name is Joe Falcicchio. I actually work for the Mayor's Office of Community Relations. So I just pretty much the eyes and ears of the mayor.
You're Donnie's replacement.
I am Donnie's replacement. That is correct. There was actually someone in between us, but I guess you didn't get a chance to meet her. My partner, who you guys may have met, is Jaja Burrell. She's been doing this for about 6 months. So I just would like to say thank you for having me, and if there's any concerns or issues that you want to bring up after the meeting, feel free to come up and address them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Bob Spencer. I'm the administrator of Stoddard Baptist Nursing Home, and as you may or may not know, my concern has to do with parking and the day parking permit. So it's my understanding that DDOT is looking into that whole process, and I'll just wait and see what emerges.
Well, should I go into the I permit comments, but I've been asking around a lot about what can be done, and but I think it would be better for me not to say until there's more substance available. Essentially, you and I discussed some possibilities, and I'm trying to get political support in the council and in some of the agencies and per your request that I look into those things. Here, you can see that we share each other's SMDs. You're in Jack's. But I'm keeping him appraised of what I'm doing. Is there...
Greg, may I?
Sure. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Councilman Graham, we went forward with residential permit parking on Newton Street and around Baptist Home and Bancroft on the assumption that there would be daytime passes available to workers at Stoddard and Bancroft. The council member is suddenly expressing just a whole lot of reservations about those daytime passes. So an unfortunate possibility now is that we will have RPP. We will have RPP. That is coming. That is done deal. But we may not have the daytime parking passes, in which case it could be catastrophic for Stoddard and Bancroft. I mean, it's bad enough that your people would have to pay $2.50 a day to park, but they may have no parking on the street at all at any price. So I think it's really important that you and people from Bancroft go and talk to the council member and make it plain to him that your institutions need this daytime parking system.
Thank you, Jack. You still had another minute of your time.
Well, you know, here's what my concern is, and as evidenced by the history of this group, the only time we're impacted, we meaning the employees and the family members, is during the day. We have adequate parking at Stoddard in an evening shift. We have three shifts and night shifts, but it's during the day that we tend to park on Newton Street and Ingleside Terrace, and there are more than enough vacant spaces so that we don't impede or hamper anybody else. It's evident and evidenced by your research. So over 500 parking spaces. Option number two is in front of Stoddard, that whole frontage, if that were provided for Stoddard, that's 23 parking spaces, and you know, we could probably do very well managing that and in having family members who come during the day and many times come at lunchtime to feed the residents. Have parking spaces on the lot. I would cringe to have a family member who is in her 70s come to see their loved one and end up having a parking ticket. That's bad publicity for everybody. And I wish there was something that we can do to remedy this, not only for Stoddard, but also for Bancroft. So, you know, yeah, I can go talk to Councilman Graham again. I don't have a problem with that.
May I?
I think you need to be aware that the board of directors and the supporters, which is a large percentage of the Black Baptist ministers in the District of Columbia, are upset about the possibility of impacting the residents' family members with, what, $30 parking tickets? Is that it? If you get,
it's going to be worse.
Many can't handle that.
Yes.
Much less the handful of employees. But that's what my position is. So, you know, we'll go from here.
My discussions with the parties I mentioned indirectly is that their recommendation is that you start to mobilize your very large and potentially very influential network in support of several of the issues that we've discussed and the ideas that you proposed for long-term alleviation. And because we, as an ANC, are not a legislature, and mostly what we can do is to help coordinate some of these things and play a buffer. So afterwards, perhaps we can talk about some of the details. And a good bit of this is trying to find ways to work with others so that the solution is not just for your special interest, but results for with trade-offs for a wider benefit. And we've discussed some of that. But I think that's going to be the key to get a coalition that will be successful. Would you? Okay. Did you bring a copy of the for me to see, or the chair to see, of the proceedings? Yes, you said you wrote Stormy saying that you were going to have a your notes. Okay. Do you have the copy you promised Stormy of your of the notes? Yes. Thank you. Okay, that's up to them. Secretary's report.
The Secretary only needs to know if the minutes of the May 19 meeting are acceptable without correction.
Any objection? None heard. It's approved.
Okay.
Treasurer's report.
No word yet on the audit, which I mentioned is an indication that he really has no problem with our audit. And if you want some fun reading, read the 7A audit. The treasurer there is likely to go to jail. It's really quite... So that's why he's not concerned about it. I have only one check to issue tonight. That is to Tony Grillo for $50 for posters. I assume there's no objection to that.
None heard. We'll proceed. Anything else?
Then I think that's it for the treasurer's report.
Okay. By the way, Bill Butler did agree that he would call Gottlieb Simon to find out the question about whether it requires, when there is a budget and a contract, whether it requires separate approval for each and every check. Commercial Quarter Committee. Let me allocate myself 5 minutes, no more. I'll try to be shorter. There was a meeting in Jim Graham's office on the Doeville. And he, with Peter Nichols, with Kretschner, and Kujan, I believe his name is, and Kujan, I'm blocking his name. The years, Kujan, I'm calling him, is the owner of a large number of properties in Pennsylvania, and they have 5 in the district. They are the owners of the Doeville. It appears that They came with almost nothing. They said they're trying to entertain offers. And Peter Nichols, the Attorney General, told them that if they are not moving this issue forward quickly and complete due good faith due diligence, then within 1 week he will unleash the full fury of the district government on them. Comment, Dave? It appears that there is forming a coalition of civic associations and other activists that to intervene. Graham mentioned some of this in his meeting, and the idea is to look for perhaps offering a planned unit development and extra zoning envelope in exchange for some other services. There is a meeting, there's some meetings scheduled this week, and I've been asked not to speculate about how those things will turn out, but it looks like this is moving finally. The attorney for the Deauville residents said that he thinks that 3 years would be unusually fast. So it's going to take some time. The perhaps the most important thing that's going on the commercial quarter is a meeting tomorrow night at Bell Lincoln School to solicit ideas from the people who live and work in Mount Pleasant about plans to change the many elements of the commercial quarter. As I mentioned last time, I've been invited by the deputy director. She told me that the testimony that I gave, not for the commission, criticizing what they're doing, contained many truths in its critique, and that they would meet the objective that I have, and I've discussed this, I believe, with all the commissioners, is that we slow down this process a little bit, and so that we can have more ideas than those that a few consultants show up and give us, and perhaps go for this second remarkable potential lineup of the usually opposing forces in Mount Pleasant for a joint solution. We had a meeting with the police.
Greg, what were you just talking about? The library or the...
No, this was the small area plan.
Small area plan.
Okay. On the library, they're coming up to a presentation of the Commission on Fine Arts. And I talked to the Assistant Secretary of the Commission, who said that only issues dealing with the aesthetics can be heard. And for that, of course, they would appreciate a hearing from, but they're not compelled to give great weight to an ANC resolution. There did not seem to be, in my initial probings, consensus on making a resolution, so I did not formulate one at this time. I think that in discussing it with Jaisa, and others, that the best thing for us to do is to focus upon the fire safety elements at this time. And Phil and I will have a resolution on that. That resolution, by the way, was also the main points of it, the main drive of it, was also, I think, endorsed by Richard Huffine, the president of the Friends and of the DC Federation of Friends of the Library. One last thing, that is the leasing. Police met with a lot of the ANC1D grantees about issues and promised that they would give full cooperation to an exploration of how to use surveys and how to use innovations in policing for reforming our PSA. Any questions? Okay, there being none, Our next issue is the next meetings. I've probed a number of the members, and it seems that we could. There is. Let me move and seek a second that we not have a meeting on July 7th. Do I hear a second to that? Jack, second. Okay. That's the informant. Any discussion? Let me move. Let's move to a vote. Show by show of hands.
Why?
4-0. It passes unanimously. Now, next we move to unfinished business. And once again, I would ask the commission to continue the tabling of the first item. Stormy said she would work with me on this, and Dave had some ideas which I wanted to accept, but I'm simply not prepared to discuss this tonight, and frankly, I'd like to get us out of here early. I think there is unanimous consent for that. Public finds public utility problems. Seeing no objection, I take that as a consent item, and it is unanimously approved. New business. Public space permit for a sidewalk cafe at Don Juan's restaurant. Who is introducing this?
Craig, it's in your district, so I'd be perfectly happy to have you take the lead on that.
I would be, at this point, perfectly happy for someone else to take the lead in this.
In that case, I will do that, if it's all right.
I welcome it.
Let me catch up on my notes here. Your tabling of the unfinished business until the next business meeting,
yes.
Is that correct?
Then, if just to speed things up while you're doing it, may I then read this into the record? Resolved that ANC1D advises the director. Excuse me, please. Okay.
Is that okay? I'm sorry. Let me to be.
No, in fact, we are required to provide translators, and we have not. So thank you for your volunteer. So I think it's extremely important that we stop, because we have a legal obligation to provide translators. So you're welcome to make the translation. Resolved that ANC1D advises the director of the Department of Consumer and Regulatory Affairs.
Greg, would you let me read it?
Okay.
Your voice is really weak tonight. Sorry.
I'm tired.
Resolved that ANC1D advises the director of the Department of Consumer and Regulatory Affairs that it has no objection to the issuance of a permit for an unenclosed sidewalk cafe at Don Juan's restaurant at 1616 Lamont Street Northwest. Further, ANC1D advises the Public Space Committee to approve the application with the proviso that a suitable pedestrian passageway space be kept between the cafe and the bus shelter. Why? Many residents of Mount Pleasant have expressed interest in sidewalk cafes in the Mount Pleasant Street commercial area. Such a cafe would promote a neighborly and pedestrian-friendly atmosphere on the street.
We'll provide a second. Now we're open for our discussion. Phil.
Good evening. Phil DePronto, ANC1D 01. I live on the 1700 block of Lamont Street, so right down the block from Don Juan's restaurant. I've been a customer for a long time. I talked with a number of the neighbors who were talking about the noise from Don Juan's during the ABRA hearings, and they are generally supportive of what you're trying to do, but concerned about noise. I think we will be able to get into that as the process continues forward.
you know, this is really the first step. I think it's a good first step. As I mentioned in the first time you came and presented that you would, do you want to translate any of this? Or?
I think it's because we are required to do this.
Yeah, I've just been talking for a while. I wanted to give them
Thank
a
you
chance.
For considering that. I forgot about it. I shouldn't have.
So, I mean, when you had presented the first time, I had asked you if you would consider putting tables out along Mount Pleasant Street as well as Lamont Street. Just something I hope you keep in mind as we move it forward. And then finally, I have had conversations with a number of people in the neighborhood that want to help you succeed. I'll be happy to talk with you about that afterwards. Just to help in the process. So I'll be happy to talk to him about that after the meeting.
Would the commission allow on?
Sure, of course, yes.
Yes.
Thank you very much for your comments.
Thank you very much for your comments, and they are welcome, those comments, that you remember having that conversation with you. He has a little bit of a concern because the business is in the corner, and he only has 5 feet in Mount Pleasant, but if he can work something around that, he will be more than happy to move forward.
Good. Further discussion? Chad?
I wanted to point out that the conditions of the application is that the hours of weekday use of the sidewalk cafe would end at 8 p.m. during the week and 10 p.m. on weekends. So I think the noise disturbance likelihood is from the sidewalk cafe per se is small.
Dave. Then I will say that my constituents have told me that they look forward to more employment activities and to a more livelier street. And that, go ahead. On that basis, I would be willing to support an extension of the hours till 10. But that is not the resolution in front of us now. Jack.
I did want to point out a concern on the clearance between the bus shelter and the sidewalk cafe, because the regulations state that a clear space of 15 feet has to be preserved. Now, maybe it's only 10 feet, I don't know. I've heard that as well. But the written regulation says 15 feet. And I'm wondering if the arrangement has been changed to allow more space.
He understands that there's 15 feet? No, 50, 15.
15, that's right. 15.
Did you say a minute?
15. He says, let's see how we can make it work. Let's just figure out a way to make that happen.
I think those tables there are within 15 feet of the bus shelter. So that this would be a problem with the present layout. And it would certainly be best for these problems to be worked out here at the neighborhood level before you go to the Public Space Committee.
So I just want to clarify,
So I just want to clarify the what you just said. So you will be, because the tables are supposedly 15 feet away from the bus stop, that will be okay?
On the contrary, they are closer than 15 feet.
Okay.
This so layout, I think, would not pass Public Space Committee.
Okay. So then, okay, so lo que dice es, thank you for the clarification. So lo que la mesa que está cerca de los kilos, si las que están arriba para allá. Okay, perhaps he can find a way to move it around and make it work, he says.
Is there any further discussion? Jeff.
Yes, one more. I was going by Don Juan's restaurant today, and I saw painted on the sidewalk a yellow line, which looked like somebody had measured the 15 feet and marked that off. Do you know anything about this yellow painted line?
Okay. He doesn't know anything about that.
Okay, good. Are we now ready?
Yeah, I move that we table this motion until the next business meeting. Why are you looking at me like that, Greg? That was the agreement.
Okay.
Tonight?
Because on the assumption that it's not coming out of public space in June, there's no need for us to vote on this tonight. Though,
I
would prefer to see an updated plan.
May I answer that? And that is that... I did make that agreement before I knew that there was a chance that they might have the hearing on the 21st. So, as the events differ, so I think our reaction should.
Well, I surely have written into the resolution the condition that there be suitable space between the bus shelter and the table. So we are safe to proceed with this resolution as it is written.
Good. I'd like to, when possible, get these off our plate. Phil. Excuse me a moment.
The only question I have in terms of...
Let's wait. Just as a courtesy. Please record this.
You want me to report that?
Yes.
The translation?
Sure. We have a lot of people there.
Okay, so what he's saying, lo que está diciendo, es de que el caballero estaba diciendo de que esta resolución no se apruebe ahora, sino hasta julio, para que esa vaina de la distancia del shelter a las mesas pueda ser arreglado. Pero dice, ¿para qué esperar si se puede hacer un... que si esto ya se sabe que se puede apoyar a tu propuesta? Y él dice que se haga una... You make it an amendment, right?
No, it's already in there.
So it's already, the amendment is already in. About the distance of the shelter.
I say that it is necessary that a suitable pedestrian passageway space be kept clear.
Okay.
So this allows you to make the changes, and we can still endorse your plan.
Okay, within the resolution? Dentro de la resolución está dice que tiene que ver el espacio entre el bus shelter y las mesas, ¿verdad? De 15 pies. Entonces, con eso, y como ya está escrito ahí, que no habría problema de eso les ayuda a ellos a que apoyen el proyecto y que tú entiendas qué es lo que tienes que hacer.
Thank you. Now, Phil.
The only question that I have is, it is possible for him to request a waiver of the 15-foot rule, is it not?
Yes, the answer is yes.
So that may be something that you want to consider as you work on your application, that you, instead of necessarily revising your plans, you may revise your application to request a waiver. But I think that we can proceed with this resolution as is, because the suitable pedestrian passageway would allow for that as well.
Lo que está diciendo el caballero es de que quizás hay una oportunidad para que tú pidas un waiver, una que te dé una absolución de ese problema. Entonces está recomendando que quizás se pase la resolución así y que tú modifiques tu aplicación con el waiver, ¿verdad? Para que tú puedas aplicar pidiendo que no tenga los 15 pies, sino que quizás dos. He says that's pretty good.
Good. It sounds like we're ready to vote. All in favor, please raise your hand. It's 4-0, unanimous. We next have, by the courtesy of giving chronological order, unless there's other reasons, the next proposal, which is Bill's Sidewalk Assurance Act. Jack, are you raising your hand? Oh, okay.
So I read this and then ask for a second. Is that the procedure? Sidewalk Assurance Act. Resolved, ANC 1D advises Councilmember Graham and the City Council as a whole that it supports the Council Bill B180191, the Sidewalk Assurance Act of 2009. This basically, the why, pedestrian facilities such as sidewalks are vital to ensuring that all citizens have safe access to public roadways. This legislation is needed to cement current policy at the District Department of Transportation.
We need a second before we go to discussion, okay? So proceed with further discussion. Phil.
Basically, there are few areas in Ward 1, although the mayor seems to have found some, that don't actually have sidewalks on the street. This makes it difficult for people that live on that street or who are traveling through that area to navigate with relation to vehicular traffic and whatnot. Current VDOT policy says that whenever a major roadway is renovated, or any roadway is renovated, they are supposed to put a sidewalk on at least one side of the street. However, that can be waived at any time. This Sidewalk Assurance Act requires that the sidewalk go in. I think this is important for our city, particularly as we try and promote other modes of transportation than automobiles. And I think it's important that we show our council member how important we think this is.
Jack.
I just brought the bill up for display. And it says, basically, the district shall install a sidewalk on at least one side of the street. It's kind of hard to argue with that. I'm all in favor of sidewalks. I would like to see sidewalks everywhere. Certainly concerned about handicapped access. But there are special situations. And I know I've run into opposition where I have suggested sidewalks, but if a sidewalk costs parking, people tell me they don't want the sidewalk. So I really think this is the sort of thing that has to be considered on a case-by-case basis. Furthermore, offhand, I don't know of any streets in Mount Pleasant where there isn't a sidewalk on at least one side of the street. So I'm not sure what relevance this has to Mount Pleasant.
Dave, you pass. Or do you want to say something, Dave? Okay. I looked around on this. You were at work, and so I thought it would be useful to make some calls because I was curious. What I got is hearsay, or I'm asked to report it as hearsay. Number one, the upcoming markup of the bill is as the result of an agreement, a negotiation, one person said, between Councilmember Graham and Councilmember Che. The reason that it was put aside 2 years ago was that it is already written policy in DDOT, and thus binding legislation seemed to be too restrictive. That is still somewhat the argument now. The mayor is under pressure from a number of very wealthy and influential supporters in areas that where they do not want sidewalks. For various reasons, and that would lead us into the nature of politics in D.C. and so on. I understand the director does not want, is opposing this at this time, because DDOT, the District Department of Transportation, has very limited money right now. They're laying off lots of people. And furthermore, they are not going to be able to fulfill all of their requests for sidewalks where there's really a need for at least one side. To go in with this is, they feel, likely to put sidewalks, to take sidewalks away from people that really need it right now and put them in places where people, the local residents, do not want them. Once the money returns, in perhaps 2 years, then this would do no harm. But right now, the general feeling seems to be on the part of the mayor and several members of the council and the Department of Transportation that they would not want these shackles on them at this time. David.
Yeah, just to clarify, did you mean that the city might not build sidewalks in areas where people do want them? You said take away the sidewalks.
That's right. That's
and use the money to build them where people don't want them.
Yes.
Okay.
Phil.
Seeing as how I can count votes, I think, I move to table the resolution at this time.
Is there a second to this?
A second with the question, is this tabling indefinitely or tabling until a specific moment? It's an important distinction.
We will table it until the next public meeting.
So there is a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, a show of hands. 4-0, unanimous. So no need to vote. Thank you, Phil. Just to say, I'm ambivalent about this too. I think we all are. Yes, Phil.
In general, I want to address Commissioner McKay's comment in that although we are an advisory neighborhood commission, we do have an oath to the city as a whole. I hope that the work that we've done on a lot of different issues would serve as a model for other areas of the city. So in general, I don't have any concern whatsoever of making my opinion known about legislation or the composition of the city, even if it does not immediately pertain to the boundaries of this district. I'm also less persuaded by concerns by the executive branch about how money should be allocated. I think the council has the role to take some leadership there, but I think it is incumbent upon me to provide more persuasive arguments for why we should pass this bill, and I hope to bring those forward at our next business meeting.
Let me abuse the chair just one moment and say that I wouldn't mind us passing a resolution for 5 minutes of discussion on the issue you raise of the priorities of this commission and to what degree we should consider recommendations that do not affect this immediately this our meets and bounds. But I don't, like you, I think I can count the votes, and I don't think that that you and I might agree for that discussion, but it would take another party before it would pass. Moving on to the next one. Phil, may I ask you, since this should be, this is not the one that you came up with. Do we have that available now? Okay, thank you. Would you be willing to read this for me? Because I think there's a consensus that my voice is not too adequate.
Resolved, ANC 1D acknowledges the hard work and effort by the DCPL design staff to make changes to the design of the Mount Pleasant Library renovation plans, referred to as Design Scheme F, and presented at the meeting on June 3rd at the Mount Pleasant Library and attended by Councilmember Jim Graham and several members of ANC 1D. ANC 1D advises the mayor, DCPL, DCRA, and DCFEMS that that's the district public libraries, consumer regulatory affairs, and I assume that's fire and emergency management systems. Just for the benefit of the audience. That despite great progress, we still have significant concern that the current designs of a patio, garden, and access ramp along Lamont Street permanently forestalls emergency access by large firefighting equipment, thereby potentially endangering many residents of the 10 or more multi-story apartment buildings to the south. 1D requests the DC Council to assist in clarifying and in providing any law changes needed to secure an access route without serious blockages, no cars or masonry fences, that would be in keeping with Appendix A of the most recent International Fire Code. Over 1,000 residents are at risk in case of a fire spreading in one or several buildings in this closely packed area. Almost all of the buildings lack sprinklers and modern fire exits, so fires can quickly isolate and overwhelm many residents. A ladder truck could reach most of the residents from the space between the buildings. Given the condition of most buildings, a few minutes saved by removing blockages could mean saving many lives. DCPL's current design would only need to be tweaked to accommodate a minimal barrier along the south side of Lamont Street and the library's western property line. However, DCRA and the DC Council must work with DCPL and other property owners to accommodate an emergency path. This resolution points that portraying the choice between expansion or saving lives is false. The issue is only lives versus the simplicity of one architectural design.
I second. Discussion. Dave Bossman.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that last sentence means. The simplicity lies versus the simplicity of the design.
That is that they refuse to tweak it further. And
What does the simplicity mean? You probably aren't saying what you want to say.
Okay, they claimed integrity of design requires all the factors be together.
Well, unless you know something else, reading this doesn't tell you that.
A friendly amendment is, you know my policy, I always am interested in friendly amendments. I accept it.
I think that last sentence should be deleted. I think it's more confusing than it is helpful.
Is that okay with you, Phil? Okay. Please delete it. In an earlier draft, rather than just express concern, I would like to see it strengthened somewhat to perhaps reinserting. I like most of your changes, I will think that we should, that if we're going to make progress on this, we need to be that clear that we wish them to require that the design does not block emergency access. Jack.
Another friendly amendment. A ladder truck could reach most of the residents from the space between the buildings. I think what you want to say is it's necessary that a ladder truck be able to reach most of the residents from the space between the buildings.
Well, I also
that's the point, is to preserve that space.
Yes, and the point is also that by looking at the various diagrams, it's clear that through the Lamont Street entrance they could.
But what I'm saying is that it isn't clear from this sentence that the design prevents that.
I'll accept, and I imagine Phil will too, any reasonable admission.
Let me suggest then, it is essential that a ladder truck be able to reach the residents from the space between the buildings. Is that acceptable?
I accept. Do you, Phil? Dave.
Yeah, I guess the essential business here is that the fire department has a workable plan to get equipment into the space between the buildings. So I would think we would want to put in something about DPO and the fire department working together, and whether the access is from the right, the left, or from the Deauville, they should be the ones to decide what is in the best interest.
To answer that, I was shocked to hear, since I was out on the street in the middle of the night in the Deauville fire, and where they didn't get around to getting him back, despite huge amounts of equipment for an hour and a half, that because I was told they were following their plan, they do not have a plan.
Exactly.
So I think what we should ask for is that the library and the fire department make sure that through some access the fire department can get back there with the library plans as modified as need be.
Let me lead you respond, which we most, since this is a joint resolution, I think we should do that. I accept that so long as we stipulate that the requirements of Appendix A of the International Fire Code be met.
No, I don't think you can tell the fire department that they need to meet some code that they haven't signed up to meet.
Well, then on that we disagree. In fact, I have heard, that the fire officials use the Appendix A of the International Fire Code whenever they can, and they only drop it when there are political pushbacks, which might be in this case. And so that's the reason I think the ANC, to preserve the potential life fire safety, needs to add our weight for this issue. Phil.
Thank you. And thank you for working with me on this resolution. I know we've been to a lot of meetings together. The reason I want to address something you said, the reason that I, in this later draft, pushed in the main resolution the language of significant concern, is that, as I expressed at the library meeting on June 3rd, I do not believe that the library is the magic, the renovation of the library cannot be the magic bullet that solves all of the problems associated with this area. So I am not supportive of any language that takes this up a notch. However, I do continue to have, as I think there are a large number of people in this neighborhood continuing to have, concerns about the fire safety and fire access issues that have been sort of clarified and brought to the fore throughout this process. With regard to your comments, Commissioner Bossman, yes, I understand what you're saying, that we as ANC commissioners in taking advisory perhaps a bit too far in dictating to the fire department how they should fight fires. Obviously, I think in my mind, this resolution tries to give them a tool and an option in the case of an extreme emergency. And One of the regrets that I have in drafting this resolution is that I truly believe that any usage of such a passageway, if it were to exist, would be an extreme emergency. I truly find it hard to believe that the fire department would use a truck as a battering ram to drive into that area when I have heard stories of DC firefighters taking giant ladders over fences and whatnot. But like I said, I am concerned about this area. I feel like if we can find a way with DCPL moving forward on the current design to try and resolve some of these issues, then I'm behind that. I'm not much more behind trying to delay the process or trying to require anything, because I don't think that I don't think that that's something that I've stood for to date. So I think we have found agreement where we have been able to find agreement, and I'm happy to move forward where we can agree, as we've discussed.
Jack, I would appreciate it if you would, we seem to, well, I'd like to know where you stand and your arguments on this.
I think this is an adequate job of expressing our priorities, namely that the priority has to be access for emergency vehicles to the packed apartment buildings. I'm a little concerned over that last sentence, that assertion that the existing design would only need to be tweaked to accommodate a minimal barrier. I don't know if that's true or not. I think it'd be better to state that as the design should be modified to accommodate a minimal barrier.
Would you accept that? Okay. I think we agree with that. You raise another point that I would like to insert that I think Phil and I agreed to, and that is our first priority, that we expressed that the first priority should be on fire safety. And this, as I drafted the resolution, I failed to include that in the body. I detect a nod from Phil, so perhaps we could...
Let me ask for one more very small modification. The however doesn't fit in that last sentence. The however should simply be deleted. DCRA and DC Council must...
Fine with me.
Is that acceptable?
Fine with you, Phil?
You don't need anything. That's correct.
When in doubt, take it out.
And with that, I move the vote.
Fine with me. I expressed that I think we had three expressions that we should state that the first priority in this process should be for fire safety.
So, if you wouldn't mind scrolling up just a bit.
Where it's explicitly stated that the first... We're advising them that the first priority should be for fire safety.
Yeah, if we can go up to the... at the end... I certainly have long sentences, don't I? At the end of the sentence that reads buildings to the south, here, I would propose that we insert our primary concern is the safety of residents in these buildings in a fire situation, or in an emergency situation.
May I suggest that it's not, we're advising them what to do, so we're advising them that in this process, the first priority should be for fire safety. Not as a report of how we feel, but advising them that this should be given priority.
and remove our primary.
I would accept that. That's what we agreed with Richard Huffline.
Yeah, I concur with that.
Okay, good. So I'm satisfied. It appears we're ready for a vote.
I have a question.
Let's all in favor. Okay. And do I see nods on all parts? Yes. Okay.
Well, the motion's already passed, and I see no point in actually getting my question. I'll just bring it up to public discussion.
Okay.
And it seems like Jermaine and I raised a question, and so
I've used my
before.
I'm a little disappointed after having sat through this meeting to have votes on motions being taken without letting the people in attendance being able to raise their concerns before the motion's passed. Since the motion's already been passed, I don't think it's appropriate to then withdraw the already passed motion. So I think my question is no longer germane after the motion's been passed. So instead, I'll try to raise it at the public discussion of the next meeting instead.
Point of order, I don't believe the vote has been completed yet.
No, it hasn't. Because until I call the vote, there was an expression, but I did not call the vote.
And
wasn't there a vote just called?
I believe the vote was called, but it has not been completed. And until four votes are cast, a vote cannot pass because it does not have a majority. Is that not correct?
The chair must, the critical point is where the chair observes the vote.
Okay.
And that has not happened.
Okay. Well, my question is, what discussions have happened between, my name is Adam Gorod, I live in 3145 17th Street. To what extent has you or other ANC commissioners, 1D commissioners, talked with members of the fire department to find out what issues must be taken into consideration determining how to make sure that there is fire safety instead of trying to have commissioners who, I own my understanding from your biography, none of you are trained fire commissioners. To what extent those concerns have been looked into?
Dave.
Yes, we have had extensive discussions with the fire chief and some of his people. And we had a special meeting with Graham and the fire department on this particular topic, about a month ago?
And in between, I've talked with quite a few of the people there. And as I communicated to my fellow commissioners, number one, they did not individually want to speak up because of this has become a politicized issue. But privately, they came out and looked at the situation and, in fact, gave us a great deal of information about their feelings on the thing. And so there has been extensive discussion and site visits to look at this.
But if they can't speak publicly about it, then I don't know what credence makes sense to give to them, because the fact of the matter is that I was at the June 3rd meeting at the library, and there are certainly major concerns expressed about fire safety, and obviously we want to make sure that everyone is safe and not have to endure the threats of fire hazards. But to the point when there are risks that people take in society, and there are risks that we can ensure that no one leaves their house to make sure there's no threat of having fire safety, you can outlaw matches, for instance. But the point where that doesn't make sense anymore, and I know that there were certainly people who were concerned about this at that June 3rd meeting, but there are a number of people who are also concerned about this process going on forever and ever, and there being no resolution to it anytime in the near future. And so I'm concerned about, if we're not fire safety experts, if you've talked to them and they can't speak publicly about it, we hear more and more concerns and more and more issues being raised that only delay and only sort of dilatory tactics prevent action from happening ever, then when does it end?
Let me suggest that we return to our proceedings here.
Yes.
I would like to continue with the vote on the resolution.
Yes. So let's see the vote again. 4-0. It is passed unanimously. Is there any other business? Seeing none, I move adjournment. Is there a second?
Second.
Dave seconds. All in favor? Jack? How did you say you? 4-0. We are adjourned at 8:30.
Yeah.
opinion.